So this is Uttan Ekadasi. It's described in this Ekadasi Mahakam. This is from Skand Puran, the conversation between Lord Brahma and Narada Muni. Once Brahma said to Narada, who is his son, by the way, Narada is the son of Lord Brahma. Oh, best of the sages, please hear about the glories of Uttan Ekadasi, which destroys all one's sinful reactions. One attains great piety and liberation by hearing such a recitation. Oh, best of Brahmins, the supremacy of the Ganga was intact until Uttan Ekadasi appeared. This Ekadasi burns all one's sins into ashes. In other words, the Ganges was great, had great influence of purifying. But when Uttan Ekadasi appeared in this world, and then couldn't compare the influence. The influence of the oceans, all the oceans and lakes, piety was matchless until this Ekadasi manifested. The result one obtains by 1,000 ashwamedhas, it means horse sacrifices, and 100 rajasuya sacrifices, can easily be attained by observing this Ekadasi. Narada said, oh father, what benefit does one get who eats only once a day, or if one eats in the evening, or by complete fasting? And Brahma said, if one eats only once a day, then all his sinful reactions of his one lifetime are destroyed. If one eats only in the evening time, then all the sinful reactions of two lifetimes are destroyed. And by fasting completely, not eating at all the whole day, one can destroy the sinful reactions of seven lifetimes. Oh, son, Narada, this Uttan Ekadasi awards everything that is unseen, undesired, and rare within the two worlds. It burns to ashes sins which are as grave as and big as Mandara Mountain. A line of sages. If a person accumulates any piety on this day of Ekadasi, then he obtains the results equal to Sumeru Hill. In the body of those who do not pray to the Lord, who are fallen from their vows, atheistic and blaspheming Vedas, who pollute religious scriptures, enjoy another's wife, and who are foolish, religious principles cannot remain with such a person. One should not indulge in sinful activities, but should engage in pious activities. If one is inclined towards piety, his religious principles are not destroyed. For one who confidently follows this Uttan Ekadasi, the sinful reactions of his 100 lifetimes are vanquished. That's pretty good. If one remains awake on the night of Uttan Ekadasi, then his past, present, and future generations return to Vishnu Loka. Jagaran. We have Devi Jagaran, people do for material benefits. Dhanam Dehi, Janam Dehi. Devi Jagaran. So they do all these jagrans, staying up all night. What do you speak of disco jagrans? People go to the disco and stay up all night, worshipping them, whatever. So this is the Vishnu jagran. This is Ekadasi jagran. Ekadasi is Harivasara. Harivasara means the day of Hari. He lives in this day twice a month. One can easily attain the mercy and blessings of Lord Vishnu, who is the Supreme Godhead, Swayam Bhagavan, Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. So here, Brahma, the Adikavi, an original entity, is glorifying this Ekadasi as being so great. If you do the Jagran, this Hari Jagran, it's called Hari Jagran, this Uttan Ekadasi or Ekadasi Jagran, then his past, present, and future generations go to Vaikuntha. A person who does not observe the vow of Ekadasi and Karti and does not worship Lord Vishnu has all his accumulated piety totally destroyed. Oh, best of Brahmins, one should certainly worship Vishnu in the month of Karti. If one eats foodstuff cooked by himself in the month of Karti, he obtains the result of Chandrayana Vrat. If one engages in hearing and chanting Harikata in the month of Karti, he obtains the result of donating 100 cows. By regularly studying scriptures, one achieves the result of performing 1,000 sacrifices. A person who hears the topics of the Lord and then gives dakshin to the speaker according to his capacity goes to the eternal abode of the Lord. So So many devotees, we're having these classes every day from 3:30 to 5, by the mercy of the Lord, we're able to carry on so far. And many devotees are giving some form of dakshin, one way or the other, fruits or anything they can give. So they're upholding this injunction of scripture by hearing Hari Katha and giving dakshin, so they will go to Vaikuntha for that. It's the spiritual world. Narada Muni said, "Oh Brahma, kindly explain how to observe this Ekadasi." Pitamaha Brahma said, "Oh, one should rise early in the morning during Brahma Muhurta, wash his mouth and take bath and worship Keshava. Then he should take a vow while chanting a mantra as follows. I will, this is called Manasik Sankalpa. Make a vow, an affirmation or determined desire within the mind before undertaking some auspicious activity. He should vow while chanting a mantra. I will fast on the day of Ekadasi, and I will eat only on the day of Ekadasi. O Pundarik Aksha, O Achyuta, I surrender unto you. Please protect me. One should gladly observe the vow of Ekadasi with devotion, and at night, one should remain awake near while remaining awake at night, one should hear and chant the transcendental qualities of the Lord. One should give up all kinds of greediness on the day of Ekadasi. Any pious person who follows these instructions, attains the spiritual world. If one worships Janardhan with Kadamba flowers in Karti, he doesn't see Yamaraj. If you worship Vishnu with rose flowers in Karti, one will certainly get liberation. If one worships with Bokul and Ashok flowers, he becomes free from lamentation. If one worships the Lord with Sami leaves, he doesn't go to Yamaraj. If you worship Vishnu with Champak flowers during rainy season, then I have to take birth again within the material world. And or something like that. If one offers yellow-colored Ketaki flowers to Vishnu, then all sinful reactions accumulated from millions of lifetimes are destroyed. So if you can find out what they are, that'd be good. I've never seen one. If one offers red-colored, fragrant, 100-petaled lotus flowers to Lord Jagannath, then he returns to the boat of the Lord, known as Svetati. Oh, best of the Brahmanas, one should remain awake on the night of Ekadasi. On the day of Dwadasi, one should worship Lord Vishnu and complete his vow by feeding the Brahmins. According to one's ability, if one worships his spiritual master and gives him charity, then the Supreme Lord becomes pleased with him. So this is the glories of Ekadasi from the Ekadasi Mahatmya. And in the appendix of this book, it says that if anyone recites the names of the... This is a discussion with the newcomer gopis in Boma Lila, various sadhakas and devotees who attain perfection in this material world. They will attain Surup Siddhi, and then they will leave this world and go to Boma Vrindavan, where Radha and Krishna's Prakat Lila is going on. And then they will take birth over there and then develop their full spiritual form. It's known as Vastu Siddhi, with all the proper bhavas and premas, types of prema. And at that time, many gopis met Radharani, and they had some discussion. They said, "Listen, we really want to please Krishna, and we're taking birth over here in Boma Vrindavan, and we're training under Vishakha and Lalita and our Guru Sakhi, but we really want to do more and try to hasten our process of perfection here in terms of Vastu Siddhi." So then Radharani said, "You should observe Ekadasi in order to please Krishna." This is in Garga Samhita. She's speaking to gopis, not the Nitya Siddha gopis, and they're called Sadhana Siddha gopis. The Rishicharis and the Dandakaranya sages, or any newcomer, the Shutis personified, they did tapasya and became gopis. Gayatri Mata, she did tapasya and became a gopi. And the Dandakaranya sages who saw Ramachandra, they did tapasya and they became gopis in the future kalpa, future day of Brahma. So many, we are also doing tapasya and doing bhakti bhajan, and we are also attempting to attain a gopi kalevaram, gopi rupam, by the mercy of guru and bhakti, we can attain such great perfection. And if and when we do attain that perfection, and we take birth in Boma Vrindavan, where Krishna is having manifest or prakat lila. We can see Krishna eye to eye. But before that, we have to be qualified with more qualification. And still, and you can imagine, you say, oh, I don't like Ekadasi, it's so difficult. But even when we take birth and bone in Vrindavan, still we'll be doing Ekadasi Pratas. This is in Garga Samhita. This is an appendix to the book, which was included in this edition of the book in Bengali by Bhakti Pramod Puri Maharaj. And this translation in English is a translation from that edition, Bhakti Pramod Puri Maharaj's Ekadasi collection. So they said, oh, Vrishabhana Nandini, oh, Lotus-Eyed One, please instruct us about a vow by which we can please Sri Krishna. Nanda Nandan, who is rarely attained even by the demigods, is under your control. She's the Parameshwari. Oh, Radhe, you are the enchanter of the entire universe, Jagat Mohini, and are expert in all the scriptures, Shastra Nipun. Sri Radha said, you should observe Ekadasi in order to please Krishna. So why are we observing Ekadasi? To please Sri Krishna. Sri means Radha, not Krishna. Sri Krishna. Then the Lord will certainly be controlled. There is no doubt about it. The gopi said, oh Radhike, please tell us the names of all the Ekadasis that occur during the full year and how one should observe Ekadasi. Radha replied, Ekadasi first appeared from the body of Lord Vishnu during the waning moon in the month of November-December. It's called Krishna Paksha Margashirsha Mas. This is Kartik Mas, and then after Purnima starts Margashirsha, Mrigshirsha, whatever you say. But in Sanskrit it's Margashirsha. It's like pre-winter. And that's when this pastime came about, when Lord Vishnu was battling one demon. I don't remember the name. Maybe they say the Mora demon here. There's many descriptions of Krishna fighting the Mora demon, or Vishnu. But here they say the demon was Mora, and Vishnu was fighting that demon, suddenly got knocked out. Vishnu got knocked out. So he's lying on the ground, and the demon raised his sword to chop the head off Lord Vishnu. This is not a very good idea. Certainly not. I wouldn't think so for me, or for Lord Vishnu. So from Lord Vishnu, his Shakti came out. His Shakti, his personified Shakti came out. One beautiful lady came out. She's beautiful, but she's also ferocious. Like most wives are like that. They're beautiful, but they can be very ferocious. But she was like that. She came out of Vishnu's body, very beautiful, but also ferocious. And a very big sword in her hand, and she was growling, like they do sometimes. and then she raised her sword, and then she came down, and she chopped that demon. She fought that demon. The demon said, "Oh, what is this woman coming out of Vishnu's body? This is a really funny way to take birth here. Usually women give birth to children, not men. But now Vishnu is giving birth to this woman. This is very unusual." So then he's okay, and she's attacking me with a sword. I better fight. So he tries to fight, and she just chopped his head off. Then Vishnu woke up from his rest, and he said, well, what's going on? What's all this blood all over the place? And what happened over here? Whose head is that? And so, well, that's the demon's head. He wanted to chop yours off, but I didn't think that was a good idea, so I came out of you. I came out of you, and I chopped his head off instead. So he said, oh, that's nice. Well, who are you anyway? He said, I'm your Shakti. And so, you know, I belong to you. Acha? Well, what's your name? Well, I don't know. You have to give me a name. Acha. Well, what day is it anyway? Oh, it's 11th day. It's 11th day after the waning moon. Acha. It's Shukla. It's Krishna Paksha Ekadasi. Okay. Okay, your name is Ekadasi. That's a good name. That's a nice feminine name. You become Ekadasi Devi. Acha Tige. So then she became Ekadasi Devi. This is the story of how Ekadasi appeared. And that is more long story how, if anyone observes this Ekadasi and all this. So this is what Radharani's telling. And then she says, if anybody recites the 26 names of Ekadasi, which we generally do as a practice on Ekadasi, Radharani is, because Radharani is recommending, and we like to follow Radharani, Rani is saying, anyone who chants the names of these 26 Ekadasis will obtain the result of observing the vow of Dwadasi for 1 year. So it's a lot easier to chant these names than it is to observe Dwadasi. Because right now, we are observing the vow of Dwadasi. Ekadasi ended at 2 o'clock today, and it began Dwadasi Tithi. So now we're actually doing Dwadasi Jagran. And Dwadasi Jagran is much more purifying, much more Sukriti, and much more pleasing than Ekadasis. But they're very rare, Dwadasi. The fasting, it's called Chaya Ekadasi, technically. Because Ekadasi doesn't start in Ekadasi and doesn't start in Dwadasi. Actually, Ekadasi started yesterday in Dasami. Yesterday was Dasami. But 2 o'clock in the afternoon, Dasami finished, Ekadasi began. So it's called Chaya. It's like a shadow Ekadasi. It's a very special, funny kind of Ekadasi. But it actually started yesterday, and then it goes all day today, and then it goes tomorrow to sunrise. But the Jagran is tonight, right now. So this is an easy way to get the benefit. Utpana mokshara safala putra shatila jaya vijaya malaki papamochani kamada varutini mohini apara nirjala yogini devashayani kamani pavitra aja padma indira pashankush rama prabodhani. And in leap year, or adikamas, there's padmini and parama. These are the 26 Ekadasis, and anyone who chants these gets the result of observing the vow of Dwadasi for the entire year. Dwadasi Vrata Ki Jai. So this is the glories directly from the mouth of Srimati Radharani and from the mouth of Lord Brahma. We are in the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, our Sampradayaka Acharya. The founder of our Sampradaya is Lord Brahma. And then he originally spoke to Narad, and Narad spoke to Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva spoke to Shukamuni, and Shukamuni comes down through Parampara. Then the most prominent modern Acharya in our Sampradaya, his name is Madhva Acharya. He lived about 1200 years ago. So he was a Krishna Bhakta. He worshipped Udupi Krishna. Udupi is a place in India, South India. We've been there twice or thrice in our life just to take darshan there and see cart festivals and whatnot. Udupi Krishna is in the mood of Gopal. He's in the mood of Krishna tending the cow. He's a beautiful black deity. He's holding a coward stick. He was originally worshipped by Rukmini Devi. He's Rukmini Devi's personal deity. Rukmini, of course, is the first princess of Lord Krishna in Dwarka Leela. So Rukmini was worshipping Udupi Krishna, the coward boy from Vrindavan, which she heard so much about from Uttara. Uttara was telling her so many things, and Devaki and Rohini Mata were telling Rohini and the other queens so many stories about Braja Leela. So she was very anxious and curious to worship Gopal. That deity was, when Rukmini left this world, that deity became buried, was thrown in a lake called Kopitala, or wherever they get Tilak from, in Dwarka. There's a lake there. So the deity was thrown in that lake, because a puja couldn't be done, a sacred lake in Dwarka. Then later they were digging, that lake dried up somewhat, and they dug out big pieces of clay from that, big heavy pieces of clay, mitti, to use for ballast in some sea ships. They were applying in the, whatever that is, Indian Ocean, or what's that ocean over there? Dwarka, what's that called?
Arabian.
What's it called?
Arabian
Sea. The ships were on the Arabian Sea, and they needed this, it's called ballast. When the ship is, wind is blowing this way and that way, if it doesn't have weight in the bottom, then the ship flips over and goes up in the water. So that all that clay was stuck in the bottom of the boat. And that boat was sailing near Udupi. And Madhvacharya was doing bhajan there on the beach. And then the ship was in distress and they couldn't find properly the harbor in Udupi. So somehow by mirrors or by lights or lantern, Madhvacharya, he was guiding that ship so that, like a beacon light, he provided some guidance for that captain to shore his ship in a safe harbor of Udupi. So the king, captain, felt very grateful to the Madhva Acharya. He said, "Anything I can do for you?" He said, "Yes, you can give me one piece of clay." Acha. What means lay? I mean dirt. Yes, dirt. Acha. Where is that dirt? The dirt's in the bottom of your boat. So there's a big chunk of dirt there. So about 20 men tried to lift it. It was very big, like a big mountain of dirt. So they took out that big clay, that rock, and they put it on the beach. And no one could lift it. It was very hard, there's so many men. So then Madhvacharya lifted it, and he carried it. And everyone followed him and said, why are you so interested in this piece of clay? He said, there's something very special in this clay. So then he just took a karate chopper. Somehow he chopped that block, and out came Udupi Krishna. The deity was stuck inside that clay. He was hidden over there in the bottom of the lake, inside the clay, inside the boat. Now he's revealed. So Madhvacharya worshipped this deity. So we're coming in that line from Madhva. He was the most famous and powerful preacher in the 15th century to revitalize and spread the teachings of the Brahma Sampradaya, which is a Sampradaya which were of Krishna worshippers. They worship Krishna. And then some acharyas came in Madhva's line, and they became enlightened to the idea of worshipping Krishna with the Shakti. And the highest form of Shakti is Radha. So then we came to be worshippers of Radha and Krishna. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is coming in this line also. So he's a worshipper of Radha and Krishna. He is Radha and Krishna. And teaching how to worship Radha and Krishna. So we're in this Sampradaya. So we heard the glories from Brahma, the head of our Sampradaya. And we heard the glories of Radharani, who is also the head of our Sampradaya. She's a guru of all gurus. Now, there's more glories about this day. Because by the time you finish the glories, the day will be finished. But anyway, it's good to hear about the glorious day that's passing very gloriously, quickly. It's already 12 o'clock. But it's nice to be taking on courage. And this is moreover one of the principles to do, to glorify the actual day. Because glorification of this day is actually glorification of Hari. And these quotations are coming from various Puranas, Skanda Puran, Padma Puran, and they're collected here in a like an anthology. It's called Hari Bhakti Vilas. It's written by one of our great acharyas, Sanatana Goswami. This is written, compiled, it's a compilation. It's compiled 500 years ago. Anyone observes his Prabodhini Padasi will bestow liberation. And you get the fruit of 1,000 Bajpayee sacrifices, and we mentioned 100 horse sacrifices. And this is interesting. No matter how difficult one's desire is to fulfill in the three worlds, Hari Bodhini awards it. So you may have the most difficult desire to fulfill is to become a pure devotee of Radha and Krishna. To have that desire, you know, I pray to become a pure lover and a pure loving servant of Radha and Krishna. That is my desire. Of course, I have a whole lot of other desires too. I want a pizza and a bowl of ice cream, and I want a house on the beach, and a motorboat, a sailboat, and a jet plane, and a Learjet, and a Rolex watch, and you know, all this crap. I mean, all this stuff. And a new sari, and then this and that. A new sari, a new Ferrari. Or sorry, my Ferrari. Or Ferrari, my sorry. And you want a sorry or Ferrari? Or both? So this is, it says, no matter how difficult one's desire is to fulfill, because all these saris and Ferraris are easy to get, but to attain Radha and Krishna's eternal loving service, to have that desire, first of all, and that's very difficult to fulfill. And by observing this most wonderful Ekadasi, which is the best of all the Ekadasis in the entire year, this fruit, this phal, tapa phal, will be awarded to one. Is someone fast today simply in sport, which is hard to imagine? Well, I think I'll just joke around today. Oh, you're fasting. Oh, you're doing. Okay, well, I'll fast too. I mean, you know, let's sport around. Let's sport around and fast. Sporting and fasting. Are you kidding? But it's such a great Ekadasi that if you're just simply in sport and mimicking someone and fooling around, this will give you great opulence and whatever progeny or children you want, great punya, majesty and happiness. Even powerful sins as tall as Mount Meru will be burned up by fasting even once. Whatever fruit or fowl one can attain by giving all kinds of charity on earth can get by fasting once on this holy day. One will attain heaven and liberation. This titi is dearest to Vishnu. A man who fasts on this day once attains liberation. He never enters the womb, another womb in this womb in this world. That bathing, if anyone does any bathing, or giving charity, or performing austerity, or homa, or sacrifice, which is done on this day for the pleasure of Vishnu, that will become immortal. In other words, any punya karma, or sukriti, or tirthasnan, or brahmandan, or mandir prakama, or home, or yajna, which one does for the pleasure of Vishnu, you'll get akshay. Akshay fall, immortal fall. Life after life, you're getting interest on your investment. Now it's like, you know, you put money in a bank, you get interest this life, you're dead, and that's finished. You know, you don't get any more interest because you're not there to collect it. But this, you keep collecting interest life after life. One should fully fast, and if one does so, he goes splendidly. He goes splendidly to the abode of Hari, illuminating all directions. The unlimited Lord, Ananta Vishnu, fulfills all the desires of those who fast with undivided minds on the day when he wakes up from his sleep, which is today. So don't have a divided mind. Should I fast? Should I not fast? Should I fast? Well, maybe I'll fast half day or quarter day or full day, or maybe till noon, or maybe till sunrise, sunset, or maybe fruits, or maybe water, or maybe milk. Divided mind. Bahushaka. Many branches. One attains, it says, one who is not generally able to fast should fast fully on one meritorious dwadasi, prabodhini. Apparently, prabodhini. This ekadasi often falls on dwadasi. So if one fasts on this dwadasi, then he will attain the whole fruit of 12 dwadasis. Because there are approximately in a year, there's 26 ekadasis, or 24 ekadasis. And sometimes there's 26 in Adhika year. And there's an average of 8 to 12 of those are fallen dwadasi. So if you fast on this ekadasi, you get the benefit of observing 12 dwadasis. The ekadasi and the bright fortnight, this is Shukla Paksha tonight, it immediately awards one Hari Bhakti.
Yeah.
Hari Bo. Hari Hari Bol, Hari Hari Bol, chanting Krishna's holy names, homeward bound we go. Hari Hari Bol, Hari Hari Bol, dancing just like peacocks, homeward bound we go. This was a mantra that Jayananda used to sing in the San Francisco temple in the late 60s and early 70s. We were serving there for 6 years, the original Jagannath temple. And he was quite an ecstatic devotee. We would say, without a doubt, he was exhibiting the symptoms of nectar devotion and describe one on the platform of Bhava Bhakti. They were wasting a moment, always speaking about Krishna. I mean, all the symptoms are there fully in the body of this devotee, Jayananda. And he is the only devotee. Many devotees died and left their bodies during Prabhupada's time. And he only wrote a letter about one. He wrote a letter about one. He wrote about Jayananda. He said, my disciple Jayananda has gone back to Krishna. And I'm so happy to have such a glorious devotee as Jayananda. Now to honor him, I want every Rath Yatra festival in the world, in ISKCON, to put the picture of Jayananda on the card of Jagannath. And every year, on his Tiroba, his death day, the day that he died, which was May 11th or something, every year, all the ISKCON temples should celebrate a feast and a festival in honor of my disciple Jayananda, who attained Vaikuntha Prapti, Siddhi Prapti, Moksha. He attained perfection. He left in 1977 in May. He had leukemia, blood disease. And he was praying every day, I want to die before Prabhupada. I want to die before Prabhupada. Because Prabhupada was also sick from January 77 until November 14th. He was very sick, and he got sicker and sicker and sicker until he left this world November 14th, 1977, at 7:20 in the evening. So Jayananda was so knowing that Gurudev was also very sick and about to leave this world. Gurudev was 81 years old. Jayananda was 40 years old. But he had leukemia, blood cancer. And I know him very well. I served directly with him. And I was writing his biography at one time as a service. And I've written a few chapters, and I met an impasse in how to present some parts of his life. Because he put on Rath Yatra every year. He built the carts, he designed the carts, he got all the permission, he made the first cart, and he was very much, we used to call him Mr. Rath Yatra. So I met an impasse, so then I gave all my recorded interviews with devotees and all my writing to Vyasagi. And my godbrother, he compiled a book about Jayananda, and that's available in America. And so he utilized a lot of my material. So he used to chant this Hari Hari Bo, and when we were in Kirtan, only when the devotees from San Francisco were there. Then we'd come from Rath Yatra, and everyone would go back to Colorado and Los Angeles and Seattle and New Mexico and all the different states and cities in America, because there was only one Rath Yatra. Now everywhere Rath Yatra, Gurgaon, Delhi, Noida, this, that, Rath Yatra everywhere. But this all happened in the 1990s. But in the 70s, there was only one Rath Yatra in the entire world. That was in San Francisco. In 67, 68, 69, the first 2 years, the only Rath Yatra was in San Francisco. Then in 69, there was a Rath Yatra in London, Trafalgar Square. So this is like history was made there. So when everybody would call home after Rath Yatra, we'd have these kirtans in the temple. He was in great ecstasy. He would chant, playing Radanga, he was a very tall man, Jayananda. Then he would chant this mantra, I think maybe you were out when I chanted it. Hari Hari Vol, Hari Hari Vol, chanting Krishna's holy names, homeward bound we go. Hari Hari Vol, Hari Hari Vol, dancing just like peacocks, homeward bound we go. Hari Vol, Hari Vol, Hari Vol, Nitai Gaura Hari Vol. And everybody go crazy dancing that like peacocks also. So this is some of the glories of Ekadasi. We read here that one who observes this Ekadasi immediately awards devotion. If one worships Madhav with devotion on this day, he becomes freed from any sins that they may have acquired in their childhood, youth, or adulthood. And indeed, even the sins of 7 lifetimes are eliminated by this Prabodhini Uttani Ekadasi. One who speaks about Vishnu on the day of this day attains the fruit of giving away the 7 islands in the world. By worshipping me on Dwadasi, as long as the world remains, that person will be devoted only to Vishnu, not to anyone else. So in Sanskrit it's Ananya Bhakti. Ananya Bhakti, it means you're undivided. Ananya means not Anya, no other. Anya means other, or different, or secondary. So Ananya means no other object of devotion, no other object of love, no other object of service. I mean, we may have our duties, service duties in our varna or ashram, service to husband, wife, or children, or whatever. That goes on, because that's part of the prarabdha karma of this body, which will go on until death. But it's speaking moreover of the service of the Atma. It's called Atma Dharma. Atma Dharma, Jiva Dharma, the service and actions of the Atma, of the soul, which are eternal. They go from life to life. Which has nothing to do with Paramdha. So one, it says here, by observing this Uttani Ekadasi, one will become an Ananya Bhakta. Krishna, Ananya Bhakta of Lord Krishna. He will become an exclusive devotee. And there are some particulars about how one should observe this Vrata. Said one should offer a handful of flowers. One should wave ghee lamps before the Lord and offer him clothes and so on. So we're reading from the Puranas what the benefits one gets here. Mm-hmm. By observing this Jagran, one gets purified of all sins for a thousand lives. One becomes an Ananya Bhakta, becomes an exclusive unalloyed devotee of the Lord. One becomes so many good things one attains. Now we're reading about what should be done on this day. There should be song, dance, and music of veenas and drums, and the auspicious sound of hearing and chanting the Puranas. So we're going to read the Bhagavat Puran. Bhagavat Puran is Srimad Bhagavatam. It's told in Kartik Mahatmyam, the glories of the Kartik month. If anyone hears the Srimad Bhagavatam, Gruda Moksha, Gajendra Gajendra Moksha Charitra, the story of the liberation of Gajendra, who was a king. The king who became cursed to be an elephant, and he was fighting with a crocodile. And then while he was fighting with the crocodile, he had some smaran, he had some remembrance by the mercy of the Lord. He remembered that, oh, actually, I'm an elephant now. I'm in a hati deha, or hati sharir, elephant's body. But in my previous life, I was a king. I was a raja. And Dev Lok. In Dev Lok, I was a raja. And I was a Vishnu Bhakta. But I committed sin. I made aparad, and I got cursed to become elephant. So, oh Vishnu, I'm suffering. The crocodile's biting my leg. I can't carry on this fight anymore. I'm feeling weaker by the minute. He's dragging me into the water. I have no strength in the water. I only have strength on the land. He is an animal of the water. Crocodile has much strength in the water, but not much strength on land. Although I don't want to see one either way, on the land or in the water. And so he's praying like this. And then while he's praying, he took his trunk and he leaned over in a lake and he curled his trunk around a lotus flower. And then he offered the lotus flower to Vishnu. And even he remembers some mantras told him, some Puranas, he chanted some mantra. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vishnu accepted his offering of the lotus, kamal phool, and then he heard his prayer, and immediately he came there in 1 second with his chakra, and he chopped the head off to Gajendra. The crocodile. And he liberated, and then at the same time he put his hand on Gajendra, and he gave up his body and became a king. Right in front. King Hu. His name is King Hu. H-U-H-U. So that story is told in Karti Mahatmyam. If someone hears Gajendra Moksha Leela, then he will get moksha during Karti. There's not many days left, so we'll read that Leela, and maybe someday that Leela. And that's also enjoined as one of the prescribed activities during Ekadasi, to hear the Puran. If anyone, and then other things, one should offer beautiful and wonderful decorations on the ground. As you'll see here in Braj, and maybe in Delhi, I don't know, but every single house, they are putting beautiful decorations. As Diwali, everyone does Lakshmi Puja, Ganapati Lakshmi Puja, and they open new books in their accounts, and they put lights around their house and some Ashok Mala, and cleaning of the house and coloring of the house in new color. But they do even more on Devutani Ekadasi, because not only Lakshmi Devi is waking up and Vishnu, but all the 33 crores of demigods with all their consorts, Arundhati and Shachi and Satyam and Saraswati and Parvati, they're all waking up. So people want not only the will or the good wishes of Lakshmi, but they want the good wishes of Parvati and Durga and Shiva and Chandra and Satya and Arundhati and Vashishta and Brahma and all the devas and rishis. So they make beautiful designs on their ground, which you maybe saw. Our Chokidar, reminded us all these things. I'm also reading, I was reading this morning. So he put garlands up everywhere and he lit all kinds of ghee lamps in, around sunset, the wells and water storage and entrances and gates. And he's really quite a handy person to have. I'm very happy. Haridas is my Chokidar. He's reminding me of all the good Hindu rituals. Mm-hmm. Because I've forgotten. In my last life, I was also a good Hindu. I was so good, I took birth in America. So if you're all very good Hindus, you may take birth in America. Bye-bye, Punjabi. Today, Punjabi, tomorrow, American. Then the Russian, then Ruski. Then your third life will be a Ruski. There's some Indians in a group. I say, are you Gujarati? Then the lady says, I'm Punjabi. You know, with great pride and full ego, full hunkar. You know, there's absolutely zero difference between, if someone says I'm Punjabi or someone says they're Gujarati, there's no difference at all. They're both in Maya. They're both 100% in Maya, and Deya Abhiman or Sharir Abhiman, and fully misidentifying, falsely misidentifying with the material body. I am spirit soul. I am Atma. I'm not the body. I'm not American. I'm not Indian, Hindu, Jewish, Christian, anything. I'm an eternal loving servant of Krishna. And so are all of you. But some are understanding somewhat, some are understanding a lot, some are thinking about understanding, and some are not understanding anything. Especially that one there. She's understanding her dreams. And that's good enough for her at this stage. Let's see, so we should offer incense. How's the incense department there?
It's still going.
Okay, good. And leafy vegetables, fruits, sweet rice, and honey and pomegranate juice and all these things we shouldn't talk about. Because we're all starving. And grape juice, pomegranates, flowers from the black tulsi bush. That means sham tulsi, which we offered this morning. And then malati and navana flowers and all kinds of flowers. And one should dedicate one's brata to Krishna. And then that's breaking the fast. And this and that. And that's about it, I think. So, a little bit more here. These are some more of the phal, the tapa phal, or brata, it's called brata phal, the fruit that one gets from observing this tapasya on brata. All the sins that one has accumulated during 1,000 previous lives burn up like a heap of cotton. If you take some cotton and throw a match on it, katam hogya, or we should say katan hogya. Instead of katam, we say katan. Katan hogya, right? You understand my language? No more cotton, or katam hogya, katam hogya. All the cotton is burned up in a second. So the idea, the analogy is that one who's doing the, what they say, vigil. Vigil means jagaran, staying up all night on this Ekadasi, not any of the other Ekadasis, you get such benefit as that. Whatever sin one commits by his deeds, that means actions, his words, or his thoughts, Govinda will personally cleanse away for anyone who observes jagaran on this Prabodhini or Uchani Ekadasi. It says Govinda in Sanskrit. It doesn't say Vishnu. Govinda. Govinda means Braj, he's in Braj, Govinda, Gopal, the coward boy. Whatever fruit or phal or result is difficult to attain for brahmanas by performing ashwamedha, horse sacrifice, one easily gets by this Hari Jagaran, staying awake tonight. The fruit or the phal of bathing at every single holy place or giving huge amounts of gold, which is pretty difficult to give away. To procure, first of all, and to give away, second of all. The benefit of bathing at all the holy places and giving away huge amounts of gold is attained, is not equal to the benefit one gets by performing the vigil, or this is what they call vigil, of this staying up all night. Mm-hmm. So bathing at Pushkar, or Benares, or Kumbh Mela, or Haridwar, Hari Kipuri, or Ganga Sagar, where the Ganga meets the Indian Ocean, or bathing in all Godavari, Saraswati, Narmada, Sindhu, Kaveri, Jamuna, Ganga, all the seven sacred rivers, the Sindh, all the seven sacred rivers of India. It doesn't equal that of what we're doing now. The merit or sukriti that one attains by worshipping Chandra and Surya thousands of times is easily attained simply by observing the vigil of this Uttani Ekadasi. So how many people do Surya Puja? Usually one worships Surya to attain health, and one worships Chandra Day to attain, I'm not sure exactly what, maybe intoxication. You could worship Chandra also to attain mystic powers. Bathing, Tirtha Snan, Dan, Tapa, Homa, Yajna, Veda, Parna, Swadhyaya, studying of Veda, Vishnu Puja, Vishnu Archan, worshipping Vishnu. All of that, if you do all that 10 million times, it equals staying awake on this day. If you study the Vedas 10 million times, you know, once a day for 10 million days, you give alms 10 million times. You know, one, oh, I don't want to give a rupee, but do it 10 million times. How many rupees is that? 10 million rupees. And 10 million austerities and yagyas and bathing 10 million times in Kumbh Mela. You get that benefit by staying up tonight. So we only have 6 more hours. How do you all... There's 24 hours in a day, there's only 6 left. So not bad. 75% home, right? 24 hours in a day, 3/4 are done. Is that right? This vigil, this jagran, right? Jagran? This leads one quickly to the world of Vishnu, together with past, present, and future relatives. The forefathers, it's called Pitri, you say Pitri, the forefathers of someone who performs this vigil are liberated from Yamapuri, hellish sufferings, and decorated, they become decorated and ecstatically happy, then they depart for Vaikuntha. So if any, we do so much Shraddh every year in Ashwin Krishna Paksha, there's 2 weeks in Krishna Paksha, which we offer Shraddh, we offer grains to cows or to koa, the crow, or the ant, or also dogs, kuta, and then that is transferred to our relatives, our Pitris, our great-grandfather. They may have been sinful, and they may be in Pitri Loka, or Yamaloka, or one of the 24 hells, hellish planets due to their papa karma, and by doing that, pinned or Shraddh, then they get food over there, and they get water over there, and they get punya. They get punya fal from our activity. And when that punya fal, it acts as a prayaschit. It becomes a sort of atonement, which nullifies their sins, and they get released. Instead of having a life sentence, they get out after 10 years. It's like this. You may be in jail for life, and someone appeals, oh, my brother's in jail for life, and you're now you're the chief minister of Delhi or this or that. Can you do me a favor? What's that? Can you let my brother out of jail? Acha, let me look at his case. Acha, he murdered 50 people, robbed 20 banks, this and that. Oh, he's not a very good man. How long has he been in jail? 20 years. Okay, let him out. So then by the order of the CM, he can get let out? This is called sanction, kripa, mercy. So in the same way, by performing this Hari Jagran, this is the supreme jailer, the supreme warden, the supreme controller of the entire world. Aham sarvasya prabhava matasavam pravartate iti matva vajantimam buddha bhava samambita. Krishna is telling in Gita, in the Chatushloki, in 10th chapter, verse 8, Aham sarvasya prabhava. I am the Lord of all creation. I am the controller of everything. So he is Jagadishwara. He controls the entire universe. So if he wants to let your relatives out of hell, the door is wide open. No problem. So that's the benefit one gets by this one Hari Jagran. It says, nothing men do in this world can equal performing one Ekadasi in Vrindavan. People who go to Vrindavan and happily keep the vigil at night will always, at the end of the night of the illusion of material existence, wake up. So this is very interesting. Because after Chaturmasya, the devas and devis in the celestial region of Swarga, Swarga devis and etc., and Lord Vishnu and Lakshmi, they're all resting for 4 months. It's 4 months of our time, but it's only 8 hours of their time. And the average man in this world, he sleeps about 8 hours a day. Right? Somewhere between 6 and 8. Take rest at 12, get up at 7 or 8, like that. He would maybe like to sleep 8, but he can't. has to get to work. But so we get by in 7. And maybe a half hour nap here or there. But anyway, it ends up to be 8 hours at least. So they're only sleeping also 8 hours. But their 8 hours is 6 months. Their 12 hours is 6 months of our time. Because they live for 10,000 years in the heavenly planets. So their time ratio is different. Everything is relative. It's the theory of relativity is based on speed and mass, which Einstein revealed in his discoveries of math. So the bigger the planet, the slower it goes, and time is influenced by all these things. So here time goes very fast. Like our time is 100 years and it's finished at maximum. But a fruit fly lives for 24 hours. This 100 years passes in 24 hours. So 100 years passes in, you know, what we call years. But his full life, his birth, his growing up, his going to school, getting a job, getting married, his vivaha yagya, everything, his honeymoon, everything's over in 24 hours for the fruit fly. His birth, his education, his playing in the schoolyard, his sporting, his cricket playing, everything is finished. For us, it takes a little longer. And what to speak of the demigods? Much, much longer. So they're only sleeping 8 hours. You met some people say, hey, why do these guys sleep so much? Demigods at Chaturmasi are sleeping for 4 months. I mean, I want to sleep. I can't even sleep for 8 hours. I got to go to work. These guys are all lazy bums. These guys are all lazy. You know, why did they get up and do something? They're just sleeping all the time. I can't move into a new house. I can't do a marriage. I can't open a new thing. I have to wait for 4 months for these stupid guys to wake up. You know? But it's not that long. It's only 8 hours. It's only 8 hours. We have 8 hours. They have 8 hours. But while they're sleeping 8 hours, 6 months goes by. There's so many stories in Puran that a person is on this planet. He has a kingdom, a wife, and everything. Then somehow or other, he has a Sukriti or someone from the other planets. They take him in a spaceship, like a UFO. They take him to higher planets. He meets Brahma, Indra, etc. And he stays there for a few months. Then they tell him, my dear king, you may be surprised when you go back to the earth. So he may stay a few years in the heavenly planets. Then he comes back, and a few years in the heavenly planets, like 100 years over here. He comes back, hey! He comes to his kingdom. I'm the king. And then the king comes out with a sword. Who the hell are you? This is my kingdom. He's like, get out of here, you're crazy. I've been here for 50 years as the king. Well, who are you? Well, I was an Indraloka for 20 years. Hey, man, you just blew 100 years over here. Because six months of our time is one day of their time. Right? So you can imagine if you're there for a whole year. It's so much time. So there are many stories you read in the Puranas about this. So this is a very, very wonderful day. This is such a joyous day. I am not able to describe the greatness of pleasing Hari with praise, music, and song during the Jagran. One who sings in front of Krishna during this Uttan Ekadasi for even a moment, he will give up all the worlds and attain Vishnu Mukti, Vishnu Loka, the abode of Vishnu. Just sing for a moment. Come in front of the Shalagam is there on the altar, Giriraj is there, there's a Krishna Sarup, Radharani is there, so Varanagiri Dharya are there, and so many Shalagam Shilas are there. And Gomati or Dwarka Shilas are also there. So we come and say Hare Krishna, and then go to sleep. Well, we should do the vigil. But just staying, you attain the abode of Vishnuloka. It is also said, one should give up safe and prosperous countries and perform Uttan Ekadasi during Kartik in Mathura. This is, of course, Mathura Mandala or Vajramandala. So you give up the safe and comfortable abode of Delhi. That's like another country. Compared to Radhakund, that's like another country. It's safe, so-called safe. There's only a few bomb blasts here and there. It's safe and prosperous country. At least there wasn't a bomb blast in your neighborhood. Not yet. Stay tuned. Maybe next week you'll be the lucky winner of a Muslim bomb blast. The Muslim bomb roulette. They have a roulette wheel and they have all the names of all the areas of Delhi. And Priti Vihar, Pritam.
Paharganj.
Noida, Easter Kailash, Greater Kailash, Friends Colony, New Friends Colony, GK1, GK2. Zoom! Noida. Oh. Hare Krishna, 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 boom! Hare Bo! Going back to Godhead. Going back to home. Right? So this is some of the glories. So we can first and foremost hear about Gajendra, which is certainly very much recommended. As we heard, that if one hears the story of Gajendra Moksha, then he will attain, he himself will also attain Moksha if he hears that during Karti. But it's nice to hear about lions, elephants and crocodiles. But I would like rather to hear about Radha Krishna and the gopis. So at 12:47, which is the time now, we have our time, and let's see what they're doing their time. Well, this sounds quite nice.
This is well, this is an afternoon. Let's see what's going on in the evening. So 12:48. From 12:48 to 1:12. This is called Nisha Leela. Radha Krishna have they performed a rasa dance that started at 12 o'clock. They started, gopis held each other's hands. Radha and Krishna began a rasa leela 11:12. They began at 11:12 in the evening, and every night, and it may vary at different times. And they go until 12:48. So 11:12 to 12:48. So during that time, we're also having our rasa dance. That's very nice, wasn't it? So 11:12 to 12:48. So that's 1 hour and 36 minutes. From 12:48 to 1:12, they finish rasa dancing, and now naturally, after dancing, one is thirsty and one is hungry. So then, what happens is that Vrinda Devi and various Van Devis, they bring all kinds of fruits. They cut up all kinds of wild fruits from the forest, like pomegranates and papayas and bananas and coconut water. And then they bring all kinds of flower wine. They also take a little wine up there, celestial wine. They take kadamba flowers. They make flower wine and fruit wines, especially from kadamba flowers. Makes a very nice wine. You know, they get a little drunk, huh? So they drink flowered wine in jeweled goblets, along with various fruit salads, are offered to Hari and his sweethearts. Krishna appears between each of the two gopis by his own Sarup Shakti, Yoga Maya, and he's smiling. And then he makes the gopis drink wine and eat fruit salad, and then he also drinks the nectar of their lips. That's a poetic way of saying he kisses the gopis. But an interesting point here that's being made, aside from this called Leela, we're hearing about Krishna's Leela, but there's Leela Vichar and Tattva Vichar. Consideration of Leela. What is the Leela? Who was performing the Leela? What did they do? Why did they do? What were they experiencing? What feelings were generated in their hearts and minds? Why were they engaged? And all these things, that's called consideration of Leela. And there's Tattva Vichar, consideration of Tattva, or truth. What is the substance and truth of this Leela? What is the philosophical import? What is the significance? What can I derive? What spiritual understanding or conception can I develop by studying this Leela? So that, of course, will require Guru. The Guru will reveal all these secrets and teachings. The secret teachings of Krishna's pastimes. In Bhagavad Gita, in chapter 4, verse 9, Krishna is telling Arjuna, Janma karma chame divyam evam yovati tapata tyaktvam deham panam janma naiti mamati sorjana. He's saying, hey Arjuna, if you understand Janma karma chame divyam, if you understand my divya janam, my divya karma, that means, if you understand my transcendental birth, my birth is transcendental. And if you understand my actions, my actions are called Leela. Your actions are called karma. Vikarma, akarma, pap karma. But my actions are not karma, they are Leela. They are generated by my yoga maya sarup shakti for pleasure. There's no suffering, there's no death, there's no old age, there's no disease, there's no anxiety, there's no tax collector, there's no water company, power company, this thing, that thing. So this is Leela. If you understand the transcendental nature of my birth and my pastimes, janma karma chamedigam, he says karma, but it means Leela. And my actions, karma also means actions. And Krishna's actions are called Leela. He's Leela Purushottam. If you understand this, then you won't take birth again. You will realize me, and you will realize your relationship with me and understand your own spiritual form. So that to understand Krishna's pastimes, then one must consider them and study them and understand them from the viewpoint of Leela Vichar and Tattva Vichar. So here in this description of Leela, we're reminded of a very interesting point of Tattva, spiritual truth, that there are thousands and thousands of gopis, and they're all being served fruit salad, and they've all danced in the rasa dance, Maharas, in the rasa stali, in Vamshiva, Yamuna Pulin, on the banks of Yamuna. And they're all tired and fatigued, and they're thirsty, and they're hungry. So wine is being brought to them, and fragrant water, water which is made fragrant by beautiful flowers. Sweet flowers are put in the water, and sometimes kapur. And the water is put in clay jugs and put on the rooftops of palaces, so the moon shines in the water, and it becomes very surcharged, and wonderful tasting water, very refreshing, very fragrant, and very tasty, and very enervating and invigorating water. What to speak of the wine, which has a natural inebriating effect that you all know about wine, I think so. So also that effect is there. So many gopis are there, and they're thinking, oh, but there's only one Krishna, there's only one Shyamasundara here, only one Rasa Vihari, only one Bhakti Vihari. But I want to give some fruit salad to him and feed him with my hand. And I want him to drink some wine from my cup, and I want to eat some fruits from his plate. So then Krishna, knowing the desire of the gopis to serve him and please him, then he expands himself. That's what's described, we described that. He expanded himself, so he was sitting face to face with each gopi. There's one Krishna, one gopi, one Krishna, one gopi, as in rasa dance. So this is the whole nature of the spiritual world, is that Krishna expands himself to accept the service from every single servitor. It's not that you stand in line, oh, you attain moksha, you attain mukti, you have Vaikuntha prapti, you went to Krishna loka, oh, and you want to serve Krishna? Oh, there's a very long line. You came now in 2020, but so many people came in 1980 and 1990, and you get in line, you take a ticket, and they'll call your number. There's one board there. You see one board that has neon sign, it'll ring, and then you see red sign, it'll go number 20, number 90. So when your number comes, then you go up the aisle, you go up this aisle, and you'll get a chance to fan Krishna with chamar, or put chandan on his forehead, or give him mala, or maybe offer some bhakti or some ghee and some agarbhati. And your chance would be that, but you just sit here and wait and eat some fruits or go in the Yamuna, swim a little bit. You know, in a couple of years your number will come up for sure. Oh, that's nice. I'm glad to be here. And it's not exactly like that. As soon as you get there, after a short time, you're introduced to the gopis and Radharani, and then you learn some things. And then you get an opportunity directly to serve Krishna. It is like this. This is all explained. So this particular section here, this is going on there. And this is the news in the spiritual world. This is called Nitya Lila, Astakalya Lila. It's really, we think we see something on television, and we say, this is real. This is real. I saw, and people will say, and they go to school, did you see on the television this Discovery Channel? Did you see National Geographic? Did you see this cricket match, Australia versus India? Did you see on the television? I saw. Do you believe it? I believe it. It's real. All it is, there's a box in your room with a tube inside, and there's some light. And something goes on there. And you say, well, this is very real. There's really a cricket team. There's really Australia. But did you go to Australia? Do you even know if there's a country, Australia? Did you ever saw? You put your hand there, you touched it? How do you know it exists? Only you're accepting that it exists. You're just accepting some images of light on the television. This is real. And you think it's very concrete and very tangible. But you're not touching it. You're only seeing it. You're only seeing some images of color and light on your eyes, and you're accepting it. And all this is wires and tubes. And you think that's very real. So if someone reads Shastra from enlightened acharyas who have antennas on their heads, with those antennas they can tune into the spiritual world, just like your microwave, or you have a disc on your roof, or a cable, and you can tune into the TV show from Australia, cricket match, and you think it's very real. So the enlightened acharyas, they can tune in on the leelas. And they see the pastimes of Radha and Krishna in the spiritual world, and they write about them. So when we read about them, this is nitya, means eternal pastimes. They're going on right now at this time, at 12:48. This is what's happening in Uprakat, Vrindavan. Vrindavan, which is not manifest to us. But it's going on even in this Vrindavan, but we can't see because of our cataract. We have glaucoma. glaucoma or cataract on our eyes, so we cannot see properly this spiritual reality, which is right in front of us. But never, needless to say, in the spiritual world, in Paravya, Vaikuntha, in Krishna Loka, in Brajagokul, the same thing is going on. So we read the Shastra, and we hear it, and we believe, yes, this is the news. This is eyewitness news. This is the daily news. This is going on right now in the spiritual world. And we believe it, and we accept it, and it's true, and it's factual. And you say, oh, that's only some words on a page. It's not real. It's only words. So these words on a page are striking my eyes. But behind my eyes is my mind. Behind my mind is my heart. So because my mind and heart are in such a position, when these words strike my eyes, then I accept that this is reality. And I believe this, and I worship this, and I serve this, and I meditate on this. When you see the television, that light image from the television strikes your eyes. Behind your eyes is your mind and your heart. So you accept that light image on the television, and your heart and mind say, I believe this. I accept this. This is a cricket match. This is Australia. This is the daily news, isn't it? So why is that any more real than this? Because on the basis of logic, you can't convince. You can't argue your point. Something goes in front of your eyes. Did you go to Australia? Did you see they're playing on a field? You touched the field, you saw it? How do you know it's not done in the studio? It could be done in Bollywood. One guy dresses up and they bring over 20 guys from Australia, put them in a uniform, raid Australia, and they run around a cricket field in Bombay. This is all acting they can do. Or they show some car accident and say this is Delhi, but maybe it's Tokyo. Who knows? Same kind of cars. There's so much you can. So we, as devotees, as Krishna bhaktas, we are believing in this. So for us, this is very exciting, very, very, very wonderful, and very believable that we have such access. We can access this. I'll use all these words now. Access on the internet. So now we're going to access the internet and find out what happens between 1248 and 112, which we read. So this is in chapter 23. This is Govinda Lilamrita by one great acharya, describing the news from the spiritual world. Eyewitness news. As it happens, we're there. We're there for you. Govinda Lilamrita. This is a 12 o'clock news. It's 24-hour newscast. Because when you've seen, you must have seen Bharatanatyam, or sometimes you see tabla and sarod or sitar performances, and the musicians, they sometimes chant the mantras of the tal, or the beat, and the dancers, if someone's dancing, you go, ta 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 ta, and they go, ta ta ta. You must have seen, I've seen many performances of Indian music when I was a karmi, and also as a devotee a couple of times throughout the yatra. But I've seen dancers, and so this goes on in Krishna. When Krishna and Radharani are dancing, they're also chanting the tal, the musicians, because they're dancing. So when you're dancing, you're very much aware of the beat, because you're dancing and moving according to the beat. So you want to also make sure that the musicians keep the beat, So this is all these things are told here in the scripture of the Rasa Dance. Well, it's really familiar. When Lord Krishna saw the gopis' exhaustion from the Rasa Dance, he began to drown in the ocean of feeling of compassion for them. Although Krishna repeatedly tried to wipe the perspiration from the faces of the gopis with his own lotus hand, he always remained unsuccessful, because whenever Krishna tried to touch the gopis, they became overwhelmed with ecstasy upon the touch of his hand, and then they caused him to perspire twice as much as before. So if you read the Leela, Ram Leela, you'll never ever find such a description, nowhere, in any edition of Valmiki's Ramayana or Mancharitamanas. Ramcharitamanas by Tulsidas. If you read every single verse and every single word, you will not find one instance where Ramachandra is wiping the perspiration from the face of Sita Devi. And you'll never find one instance where Narayan or Vishnu is wiping the perspiration from the face of Lakshmi Devi. Never. It never happened, it never will happen, it never could happen. The relationship is not so intimate. And there's no, because there everyone is serving Ram and Vishnu. So Lakshmi, you may find, but I doubt it, because that intimacy isn't there. You may find Sita wiping the perspiration from Ram's face. After all, he's God, he's Bhagavan, and everyone's servant of him. But you'll never find, never ever. And naturally, of course, running through the forest, there must be so many opportunities for Sita Devi to perspire. And another thing is, you'll never find any description of Sita or Lakshmi or any of these goddesses perspiring, because they're devis, they're celestial beings. So Radha Krishna's Leela is Nara Leela. It's so beautiful, because here Bhagavan becomes a servant of his devotees. And you don't find that anywhere but in Krishna Leela. This one verse describing one part of one pastime is enough to drown one in the ocean of Krishna Bhakti. Just this one section of Krishna. So this is beautiful. Think of Krishna trying to wipe it, when he tries to wipe it. Oh, you're perspiring, you dance so nice. Why are they perspiring? They dance for 1 hour, 36 minutes. And they must very much perspire. And they dance, as Swami Amma said, they're dancing their best and hardest and doing the most difficult mudras and dance movements for the pleasure of Krishna. So they really worked up the sweat. And Krishna was feeling great love for them. And one of the expressions of love is compassion. That's one of the aspects of love. That's overwhelming compassion. So he wanted to do some seva. He wanted to render some service to them by he didn't have anything to use, so he used his hand, because he could have used his chatter. But chatter, that means there's some separation between you and me. If I touch you with a piece of cloth, that means the cloth is touching you, not me. Right? Like, you know, the mother cleans her baby's bottom with a little face cloth, right? She takes a little face cloth and she uses her hand, it's much nicer. But she thinks, oh, it's all gooky, I don't want to touch it, you know. So she uses a face cloth. But the touch of the hand, of course, you know, this is all the basis of Reiki, the hand energy. Personal touch. So Krishna could have very well have used his yellow chatter, Pitambara Gaudi and yellow chatter. Oh, you're perspiring. Let me just wait. He didn't do that. He used his hand. Because he knows, he knows, of course, that would certainly please the gopis more. You can imagine, if you were a gopi, would you rather have a piece of cloth wipe across your face or the tender hands of your beloved? That are softer than the petals of lotus. Yeah. Softer than Krishna's skin is described as being softer than the newly unfurled leaves of the tamal tree. And we have one growing in the yard, maybe. And if you feel the leaves on the new, if you feel the very new leaves on a tree, they're so soft and so delicate. And Krishna's skin is so soft and delicate, just like a baby tamal leaf. So Krishna is taking his hand. He didn't just try once and then give up. Krishna tried repeatedly to wipe the perspiration from their faces, because if he's so old, they're perspiring. That's also showing his appreciation in so many things. So when they touched him, they became even more excited, and they perspired twice as much. It's kind of interesting. Her intelligence anointed with the nectar of loving friendship, one gopi wiped the perspiration from Krishna's face with the edge of her sari. Because she's shy. Krishna reciprocated by wiping the perspiration from her face with the edge of his upper garment. Because he understood that this gopi is shy. So, from before, I tried to wipe the perspiration in the gopi's face with my hand, and she became too much excited by the touch of my hand, and she perspired even more. So then I better not use my hand, so I use his Pitambara Chatra. Then swimming in the ocean of transcendental pastimes with Krishna, the doe-eyed gopis began to drown on the way to transcendental bliss. In their helpless condition, they were unable to prevent the loosening of the garments, and braids. After Krishna had completed this variegated, independently perfect nectarine amorous rasa dance of the gopis, his mind yearned to enjoy it again. Understanding this, Brindadevi and the gopis approached Radha and Krishna as they stood on the camphor-like sands of Yamuna's beach. Brindadevi presented various kinds of fruit salads and jeweled goblets filled with madhu nectar made from the juice of various kinds of fruits and flowers. And she offered these to Krishna and his beloved gopis. By his Swarup Shakti, his own personal spiritual energy, Krishna appeared between each two gopis. He drank some nectar from their cups of honey wine, and he fed them the appetizer of his joking words. So he was joking with them. And he made them drink the remainder that had become sent to the nectar of his own lips. So even Krishna is distributing prasadam. He sat with the gopis, and then they had their cups of honey wine, and then Krishna sat there and he kept joking with them. He picked up the cup and he drank some of the cups of their wine, and he put it down and he said, you can drink some. And then the gopis said, oh, they didn't want to drink, they want to have prasad, like they're devotees, so they also want Krishna's prasad. So then he drank from their cup knowing that. And they said, okay, now we can take Krishna's remnants, prasad. So they drank his madvika nectar, it's sometimes called. Then Radha and Krishna both became intoxicated by drinking the madvika nectar, and by the rising feelings of amorous love. Krishna took Radharani to the place where the sandy beach meets the forest grove, and lay down with her on a flower bed. Brinda then took the gopis, whose eyes were rolling with intoxication and the arousal of amorous love, and she gave them places to sleep in the nearby kunjas of Vrindavan. Then, so what happens now is that it's interesting, it's really amazing what goes on in the spiritual world. It's really hard to conceive. Sometimes it seems like very much like human activities, but then all you're reading, oh, this sounds so like mundane, almost like husband and wives or men and women. Then all of a sudden you'll read one shloka and you'll say, wait a minute, hold it, stop, red light, stop the car, what's happening? Hey, wait a minute, now it's getting very strange. Now it sounds spiritual. Now I can understand it's spiritual. Now you'll understand. Smiling because all his desires were perfectly fulfilled, Krishna allowed himself to become henpecked by Srimati Radharani. So on her advice, they both left that kunja. So she was kind of took control and said, okay, let's go, let's leave this place. And he didn't really want to go. And Radharani's order, so then Radharani ordered, she said, oh, I'm very tired, I want to just relax. So then she said, Radharani said, listen, there's all these other gopis, they're in their kunjas, and they're also tired, and they're intoxicated from honey wine, and they're resting, and they very much want to be with you. So you go to them. And he said, no, but I want to stay with you. And she said, no, you go. I'll just stay by myself. Now you can understand, there's something, this is not anything like this world, impossible. She said, no, you go, they're my girlfriends, and yet they should also have your association. Not only I. Why I should keep you for myself? But any man or any woman, they want to keep the woman for themselves or keep the man. It's not like some man says, oh, yeah, you're nice, okay, now you go. It's not like that. Or some wife says, oh, husband, you're very nice, okay, now you go. You go to my friends. Oh, so many girls in the neighborhood, they don't have any husband, and they're also young, and they must be wanting to have a husband. So you go visit them, make them happy, then you come back. Husband might think good idea, but the wife will definitely never order the husband like that, nor the wife husband order the wife. So, but this is going on there. On Srimati Radharani's order, Krishna expanded himself into many forms and entered each of the kunjas simultaneously, appearing before each gopi, and then he enjoyed with them. And then he, after unseen, the gopis fell asleep, and so then Krishna left their groves. He returned to Srimati Radharani, who softly smiled when she saw him. Some gopis followed Krishna back to Radharani's grove, or Kunja. Then they saw their Sakhi Radharani smiling and laughing. Why Radharani was smiling and laughing? Because she's saying, "Oh, Krishna, someone kissed you on the forehead. You have lipstick on your forehead. That's not mine. How will we do that?" And she's joking with him. Oh, I see the signs of amorous activities, amorous affairs with other gopis. And so she's smiling and laughing. Oh, this is very good. The gopis say, "They had good fun with you. This is very nice." And so the other gopis are following. They follow Krishna back to Radharani's grove, and they're looking and saying, "Oh, Radharani's." And then when they heard how Radharani was talking about them and laughing, they became embarrassed. Oh, well, I put that kiss on Krishna's forehead. And so they became a little embarrassed and shy. And that's being described here. They became embarrassed. And they once covered their limbs with their saris. Restlessly moving their eyes, they shyly bowed their heads. And then Radharani saw them and she called them in. She said, "Hey, Sakhi." And then she jokes with them. She says, "Oh, my lover, Krishna, he's been staying with me all this time. He has not left me for a moment. So I'm sure that he has not been outside enjoying amorous dances with any of you. But I would like to ask you something. How is it that you seem to be so much full of amorous desire?" And then Krishna laughed. And he said, and Krishna started laughing. He said, "Well, actually, I think that the deity of personified conjugal love has actually entered all these kunjas and danced the dance of conjugal love with all these gopis. That is the reason why these gopis have become so intensely aroused with amorous desire." Hearing this, then the gopis, who Krishna had previously been with, they became very affectionately angry. Now that's an interesting combination. How can you be angry and affectionate? Affectionately angry. In other words, they were false angry. They were showing some anger, but there was actually underlying so much love. Because Krishna was playing. He was only joking and playing. And they're all his expansions. All the gopis are only expansions from Krishna. So then they became angry at both Krishna and Radharani. Because Radharani is making a joke of the Sakhis, and then Krishna is making a joke. And I say, "Hey, what is this, you know?" Radharani orders this guy, tells this guy to come in over to our kunjas. Then he comes there and enjoys to his heart's delight. Then he returns to Radharani and starts making fun of us. "Hey, what is this?" So they become like this. This is all their laughter and fun. So then and they go on joking back and forth. And this point. And so this is what's going on now in the spiritual, this is a spiritual television. This is the greatest love story that it was ever told. Not only told, but being enacted time eternally. The love story of Radha and Krishna. And this is the pure love of God and his own energy, his own expansion. So, you know, that's a little bit like coming attractions. And now we'll read about the gender of the elephant. This is very... Because, you know, this story... First we have to become liberated. Because we can't enter the realm of Radha Krishna's pastimes until we're liberated. And when we're liberated, then we'll understand everything and we'll fit... We will fit in. We'll have a place to fit in. Our mind will fit in. Our heart will fit in. Everything will fit in because we'll have spiritual form. It's called Swarup Siddhi. And very beautiful painting there of the gender offering lotus flowers to Chaturbhuj Narayan. And then there's a painting of the demigod appearing out of them. Actually, they're both demigods. The elephant was a demigod, and so was the crocodile. And they both become cursed, and they both were fighting each other. And they're both liberated by Vishnu. I think everyone has heard before. Most Indians have heard. This isn't another planet. I don't think it's in this planet. This isn't heavenly planets. There's a beautiful mountain, and it was covered with silver and gold, and so many beautiful elements, and the beautiful rivers and lakes and forests over there, like Nandakanan gardens in Swarga. And many Lasitas and Charanas, Gandharvas and Kinnaras and Apsaras, they used to go and sport there. It was like a holiday resort for them. In India, they had hill stations, Pune and, you know, I don't know, Missouri and places like that. But this is incomparable. And there's a lot of descriptions of the beauty. Our birds were chirping in sweet voices, and there was all kinds of gardens over there, and all kinds of flowers and fruits and banyan trees and bananas and jambu fruits. And there was one big lake in that forest with so many lotus flowers, all kinds of lotus flowers and manavilatas, and the fruits of all seasons were blossoming there. And then there was one elephant there that lived in the forest, and he went to that lake with all his girlfriends, and he was enjoying there, breaking out flowers and throwing at his girlfriends, and the girlfriends were throwing flowers at him. Elephant girlfriends, right? They're called Padminis. And they're splashing water in each other with their trunks. And they were like the king of the jungle. So all the other ferocious animals, they ran away. Tigers and lions, they were really afraid of this elephant. And that king was just lost and enjoying himself with all those in that situation. And then all of a sudden the party was over. He was having a good time with all his girlfriend elephants. And one crocodile came unseen under the water, grabbed him by the leg. And it was biting him, and a big fight was going on. And they were going back and forth. They were fighting for 1,000 years. Pretty much the lake, I go, I go. And then,
their time.
Yeah, their time. Wow. It's up in the heavenly planets. And all the demigods were amazed at the fight. But being an element of the, being a water animal, the crocodile was getting stronger,
and the elephant was getting weaker.
Because the elephant had nothing to eat, right? He was just stuck in the water. And the crocodile was eating the elephant. The crocodile was getting good energy. He was sucking blood and getting strength from the elephant. So he was getting stronger and stronger as the fight went on, the elephant was there. So this is, it probably gets an interesting clipboard. We have to find a safe position to fight Maya in. And so that's all that. So now this is a conclusion that the elephant came to. He understood this is by the will of providence, that he could not save himself. He was really afraid, became very afraid of being killed. So he thought for a long time, he reached the following decision. Namam nimegate yaturam gajja kuta bharinya prabhavanti mochitam kahena pashena vidatura vrita abhyaham chatam yami paramparayam. These other elephants who are my friends and relatives cannot rescue me from this danger. What to speak of my wives? They cannot do anything. It is the will of providence that I have been attacked by this crocodile. Therefore I should take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is always the shelter of everyone, even great personalities. What a good conclusion. And then he goes on to say that the Lord is equal to everyone. He's the Supreme Authority. The next chapter starts. Then he fixed his mind and his heart, and he chanted the mantra which he had learned in his previous birth as Indradyumna. He was previously the king Indradyumna. You know Indradyumna, he's connected with the Jagannath Leela. He's the one that had the deities of Jagannath commission, remember? And then Vishwakarma was the architect carving the deities of Jagannath. He said, don't disturb me. I'll do my work. I'll carve the deities of Jagannath Krishna and his brother Balaram and his sister Subhadra. But don't bother me. Let me carve the deities. And then he didn't hear anything for some time. He thought, what's going on in there? And he got impatient. And then Indradyumna, right? That was Indradyumna. He went inside and the Stavati, the architect, was gone. He disappeared. Because he said, I warned you, don't come inside till I'm done. So now I have these unfinished deities, short arms and no legs and unfinished. So then the voice in the sky said, anyway, this is it. I'm here. You worship me like this. So that's one story of the formation of Jagannath.